welcome to the Chain Gang podcast. Today I am joined by a world championship medalist, one of Yorkshire's favourite cyclists, won the first stage of the Tour of Yorkshire a few years ago, Harry Tanfield. How are you doing, Harry?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so how are things with you? Obviously, you joined a new team, you got about 3 months for racing, and then this happened. And so how's that been as someone on a new team? It's obviously, you've had a training camp, I assume, at the start of the year, but yeah. You obviously haven't got as much socialising with teammates as you would normally.
No. I missed a good chunk of the early block of racing in February. I mean, I did my first race at the start of February, and then I had to go for some medical checks because the team wanted to do some further medical checks on my heart to make sure it was all good, as they do, you know, when you join a new team, and they wanted just to follow up on some checks that had been done in the winter. So I did that in February, and then I was ready to race again the end of February. I did a race start of March, and then I was ready to go to the next race like a couple of days after that, and then that was when everything kind of got cancelled. So, you know, I've only done 2 days of racing so far.
Yeah. So one question I've actually, someone has asked me to ask you, is what's it like joining a French team? And obviously, as you do there, as teams go, are one of the, like, really strong French teams. What's it like being an English rider in there? If I'd done some proper research, I could tell you the actual answers, but I don't remember them having a British rider for a long time, if ever.
No, I'm the first Brit. I mean, quite a lot of guys actually speak English. A lot of the staff do. Some of the staff don't. So it was quite difficult at very first, but the more time, especially over like the November team bonding camp and the December camp, January camp, and then going into the first race and stuff, it just like the more time you spend around everyone speaking French, because I mean, I've done a bit of French. I did French at school, and I've been on a bit of Duolingo. When you spend time speaking, you're listening, you know, you're trying to speak in French, obviously, you're listening in French, you start to think in French as well. So after a while, like, you kind of just pick up like a couple of words and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's a cultural difference. But everyone's like, you know, it's a good group of guys. Everyone's really sound. And all the riders speak English pretty much as well. So actually, it's not, it's not that big an issue. And to be fair, a lot of the guys actually like to practice their English, which is quite annoying, really. Because they want to, you know, around the dinner table and stuff, obviously speaking French, and I pick up bits here and there, but it's, a lot of guys actually want to improve their English as well, which is kind of useful for them, and I can help them out as well as them helping me.
So what are the differences, as you say, then, compared to Katusha Alperson? Because obviously they are technically a German team, but they're very multinational, and you obviously had Alex Dowsett on the team. So what is the difference like? What was it like there?
I think it's a much more homely kind of feel. It's more of it's a closer group of riders as well. Obviously, everyone will be French, and there's the guys that have been there for a long time as well in the team. So there's a lot of the staff and the management and stuff. It's very quite traditional and very much all of, you know, defines French cycling as such, I would say. So I think there's definitely more heritage and a bigger culture aspect to the team, as opposed to Katusha, where there's got a big mix of nationalities. I think there's a real clear identity and strong, close-knit group in the French team, I would say.
And can you also, or is there any way of telling, is there anything you've noticed that shows just how long the team have been in cycling? Because now they must be one of the longest-standing World Tour teams.
Yeah, really. I think it's about 18 years that they've had Ajid Dejaer as the title sponsor. So, been around for a long time.
And obviously they've podiumed Tour de France's a few years ago, Jean-Christophe Perrault, and then obviously Romain Bardet is pushing that pretty hard. Have you found your role shifted going onto a team with really, really strong focus on GC at races like the Tour de France? Because obviously Katusha, they had a lot of kind of split out aims. I mean, they had a lot of classics riders. They had some sprinters, but this is, as it is, they tend to go for, well, now they've got Oliver Nelson, but how different is it?
I think there's two clear groups. Obviously, there's supporting Roman and supporting Oliver. That's the kind of split group across what it is. And then some of the other guys that are, you know, again, race winners that can do really well in just the hard, like, stages and stuff like that are free to go for that as well as in supporting those two key riders as such. So for my role, I mean, I'm pretty much there just helping Ollie for the classics, helping Stein as well. I mean, Stein's a big help for Ollie, and it'd be good to go and see the guys again. I think we've got a training camp in July, so we'll all be back together in France. The group of, like, you know, the classics group as such, it's quite a different, I mean, the classics group, you know, it's made up of mostly Belgians, Sylvain, who's Swiss, and you know, so again, the language, like, you know, the language is French, but everyone speaks complete English as well. The classic groups are, you know, it's a real good group of guys.
So yeah, does that mean your schedule is more suited, especially with the new schedule, no grand tours and focusing all on the monuments, or how does it look for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the program itself is going to be triple. I think there's two races which are possibly like quadruple programs. So it's going to be really hard to make it all fit and to make it work. And at the moment, I'm my first race is going to be the some of the French stage races. It's one in the middle of August, and then the back end of August. One has got a pretty flash time trialing as well, which is good. They're like 3-4 day stage races, which would be good to get in the legs before moving into September. Then that's when the classics can start, and obviously the tour's on then. So the races, there is some smaller classics and French races that I'll be doing when the tour's on before the big classics kick off all through October, pretty much.
Yeah, so now I've got another question for you from someone here, which I was going to ask you about anyway. You obviously, when you were still at a Conti team, won a stage of Tour Yorkshire, which quickly, like, the Tour Yorkshire became a pretty big race because of ASO's backing.
Yeah.
How did it feel to win that stage? And you wore a jersey for all four stages, didn't you?
Yeah, I kept the jersey every day. It was the best feeling ever, really. Never been in a race like that again. Probably never will be. you know, to win, you know, you're always, I guess you're more marked as well now. But when you're a Conti rider, that's, you know, you go there just trying to get on the podium for something of some description. But to be wearing a jersey every day, that was in, you know, what is my home race as well, it was a great feeling.
No, I could be completely making this up or imagining it, but I know I went to the, if it's the final stage or the penultimate stage, everyone started in Richmond, but was there not a point in that race where you ended up riding in live traffic, not even in the convoy, after a puncture or something?
Yeah, that was, it might have been that, I don't know if it was the Richmond day or not. It was the day I was in the blue jersey. I think it was the day around Manchester. It was second day. Yeah, I punctured. It was like just flat out at the start, and I punctured at the side of the road, and we were, I don't know if the car went past me or if it was at the back of the convoy or something. What had happened is there was a crash about 500 metres, like, or a kilometre before, like, a big crash where, like, Lawless went down real hard and a few other guys had attacked off the front. And, there was a massive crash there, and they, like, pretty badly hurt themselves. So the peloton went through and the convoy didn't. So then the convoy was stuck behind all that. And obviously I'd punctured further up the road, and it was in trees, like real big tree cover. And like the helicopter just kept following the race. And I was just stood at the side of the road, like, you know, waiting for the car, and the cars just like never came. It just took so long. And it took like a good hour and a bit of chasing to get back in, because the race never let up, you know, for a good bit after that. And that was horrendous, like, to go from, you know, obviously the first day actually in the blue jersey as well, couldn't really go much worse. I'd absolutely emptied myself for the first like 2.5 hours of the race, for when I should have only been going hard for the first hour, you know, to actually get back in the race. And when I did get back there, I was pretty spent.
Yeah, and I mean, it must be pretty special, obviously you're from up that way as well. And when I was there, at least, I think I was standing in Massam, and when you came through, you were dropped, but like the crowd still went mental for you because everyone knew who you were. So like, was that special as well to race there? Because obviously racing in the UK is on the way up, and before that you've been racing in like Tour Series and stuff like that. How much bigger was it at Tour Yorkshire?
Yeah, you can't really compare it to any other race, really, other than the World Championships. I think, just because of the, you know, the amount of crowds and the people that you get at the side of the road. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, you can't really compare it to many of the races. There isn't, I mean, you go to the races in Belgium, I guess they're pretty similar. You know, the big classics like the opening weekend or some of the big semi-classics as well. There, obviously, they've got big crowds. But I would say that Yorkshire, just because of the amount of people that are by the road for like the whole section of it, you know the whole race route, pretty much, it's just always, you're just always going past loads and loads of people the whole time, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think the world's proved just how passionate they are, and it all started really with the Tour de France a few years ago.
Yeah.
No, I think the last time I saw you race, it's not the last time, not the only time, definitely the last time, was in the time trial at the Glasgow Europeans. So how many times have you represented GB now? You obviously won a medal in Yorkshire, which must have been pretty special. Yeah. Then have you ridden Worlds? And you haven't, you?
That was the Worlds, that was last year. And then, yeah, we did Glasgow, was the Commonwealth Games. Gold Coast was Commonwealth Games, which was in March 2018. And then later that year in August, I did the European Champs in Glasgow. Then following year, didn't do the European Champs, just did the World Champs in Yorkshire.
So, another question from someone for you. What do you think really made the difference that got you your move into World Tour? Do you think it was consistent time trial performances, like the Commonwealth Games, or just the standout win at the Tour Yorkshire, or a combination of everything?
Probably a combination of the time trialing as well, because, I mean, it shows you got good power and stuff. And, yeah, Yorkshire was good in terms of the road racing aspect. I had some decent results back out in like Belgium, and you know, racing in like the 1.2s and the lower level UCI races. I had some good results out there as well that year and the previous year. So that was kind of just like the icing on the cake, really. Was, you know, doing it actually in a bigger race as well.
Now, this is potentially springing this on you slightly, but I did warn you about this before, and I was really going to ask you to do this. So when this comes out, the new Pro Cycling Manager will have come out today. It comes out tomorrow for us.
Oh.
I've managed to get your stats early for tomorrow.
Oh.
I want to see if you can guess what you are.
What's it based on? How many seasons are we talking? Is it based on last year?
This is based on the Nacon and Cyanide developers having watched you race. I did get Dowsett's stats as well, if you want a comparison.
I guess is probably not very good at all.
You've got the five main ones. You've got Flat Mountain Hill Time Trial Prologue are the five big ones, really, and Cobble and Sprint.
That's a lot of different categories.
It is. There's about 15 in total, but I'll just give you the main ones.
Oh, God, right. Climbing's probably not going to be very good. Probably the lowest of that.
I've been watching
Sprint and Cobble, probably similar. Time trials, would think time trials would be the best. Maybe sprint would be higher than sprint, maybe second highest, time trial first, and then prologue, then cobbles, something like that.
So your best one on here is prologue, which is 73, and this is not like FIFA, it's out of 85. So you can kind of add 12 to your stats to get your FIFA stats.
Okay.
So 73 is... Dowsett's time trial and prologue is 78. So,
yeah.
I mean, his time trial... Your time trial is 70. You sprint 67. So you feel a bit hard done by.
No.
We'll get it sorted.
I'll take
it. Now, I'm not going to make the podcast all about that, but can I ask you a genuine question that I would like to know? Because the developers don't give me anything and they don't really like me. How many cyclists do you know actually know that game exists?
What, in World Tour or in like...
Just that you know. Like
pro riders. Oh, pro riders, I don't know. Probably not many. That was the last thing that anyone would want to do if you're a pro rider.
Well,
no,
yeah, exactly.
At any point. I mean, I know I wouldn't.
You get away from it as quick as possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, to be fair, most pro cyclists don't even watch cycling on TV, so they're not gonna so they're not gonna play a game about it.
Is there anyone out there? I'm gonna use a term that's used in rugby, but it's very transfer. Do you know what a Nors is?
No.
A Nors is like someone who's really, really keen about like a sport and knows everything. That makes you nauseous. Are there any like Norses in your team or in any team you've been in before who just absolutely love cycling, know everything about it?
Yeah, you do have like enthusiasts, like proper passionate people that actually purely live for it. I mean, you do have to live for it, like in a way, but it depends if it's how intense you are with it, if that makes sense. I guess those are the people that kind of burn out a little bit as well. Because I don't know if you can keep that kind of passion and like intensity up for years on end. No, I don't think many in pro. I think pros kind of get the balance, don't they? You know, because you're away from home all the time. It's like when you are at home, you kind of switch off from it. Like you do your training, obviously, but you try and switch off a little bit from it. Whereas if it's, you know, you're aspiring to be up as an elite rider or in the UK, moving up to the next level as far, you're going to be a bit more intense about it, I guess. But then, you know, it doesn't go without saying that all pro riders still think about all this every day, which they do. I guess it's just the way they portray it or express it, I guess, it would be different.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is a question in itself, but as far as I'm aware, compared to a lot of other sports, video analysis isn't as important in cycling, especially on the road. Perhaps on the track, yeah, but
yeah.
On the road. So I guess you don't have to watch as much cycling anyway. Like, whereas a footballer finishes a game and they spend a day just sitting in a video suite analysing performances, I guess in cycling it's more about what you can do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the results speak for themselves, don't they? You know, if you're a team and you're working for one rider, I mean, don't get me wrong, we do go through like races and see what happened. More speaking about it rather than actually like using video analysis. So I mean that aspect still does happen. There's still a lot of reflection on results and reflection on how races went and stuff like that, though.
Yeah, and actually thinking about kind of analysis and how everything worked, you obviously were one of the original members of what was Team KGF, and now is what was that like? In a way, kind of completely shaking up the world because no one really expected you to do as well as you did, and you stormed onto the scene. I know you did a lot of aero work and you just were so tight as a group. Like, what was that like to actually be part of that?
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good experience, actually. And I don't think I would have had the same road results in 2018 if I hadn't have done the stuff what I did on the track that winter. The track really gave me a good focus to do those hard efforts and really improve my, you know, my VO2. So I think that, you know, I owe quite a lot to doing that as well. And it was nice just to do something different. It was like discovering a whole new sport, actually.
And obviously you were on that team with your brother and he was also with you at Canyon when you were there.
Yeah.
How does that work? Do you have like a kind of different relationship when you're racing compared to when you're at home or whatever, or are you just the same all the time?
No, same all the time, really.
Yeah. Mm. Lots of abuse mid-pursuit.
I would never race against him. He was always just dragging me around in the team pursuit. He was a lot more aero than me, just dragging me around. And then he would do the individual pursuit. And then in the road races, we would just work together as, you know, teammates. So just work really well, try and get in a two-up. I'll try and get in a breakaway together, and then we can just like, if we're both in a break together now, so we can work out really well.
So we obviously see a lot of World Tour teams with kind of brothers in. I don't know if it's written into contracts. I assume Peter Sagan's one is written into his contract that Uri has to be there, because I don't think I've ever seen Uri get a good result. But anyway,
he's just
So like, would you like to see your brother join you on a World Tour team at some point, or is it not really important to you?
Yeah, I think Charlie wants to turn his attention to road at some point after track to see where he can get to. But I think he's enjoying the track. He's in a good place with that. And he's obviously just focusing on the Olympics right now. He says some point in the future, maybe. I mean, he still does his road it's not Canyon now with the road team, but it's kind of like no pressure, just do the races that you want to do and where it fits your track program to do certain races. So whilst you're still doing the track, there won't be a place to do the road.
Yeah, so are you targeting Tokyo on the road or the Paris Olympics on the road, or are the Olympics not really in your mind at all?
Not particularly, no. World Championships in September. Want to have a good crack at them. Try and get selection for the individual and the team time trial and that again. Team time trial like what we did in Worlds last year. So just have a good stab at the, try and get picked for the IP and yeah, the teams for that team time trial.
So how did you train for that? Because obviously it was a new event and you had the mixed gender.
Dan broke it all down as to what it was. The course was pretty pretty rough. Like, we went and studied it in May. We went and had a ride around and a good look and had a plan and, you know, saw what we needed to work on potentially and, like, look at where we would implement certain strategies for changes and, you know, what gears we needed and blah, 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 you know, which is what we had the luxury of doing because it was down the road. We're quite fortunate that it's pretty flat, the team time trial in Switzerland. We won't get to see it but until we go, but it's flat. So whereas the Worlds at Harrogate, you wanted to ride around to practice certain corners and like see the gearing and all that kind of thing, which was, you know, we're thankful that we'll be able to do it on our home turf.
Yeah, and obviously you always go down in the record books as a first medalist in that event in its history. Yeah. So that's a nice thing to do and to do it on home ground as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What you said about learning corners, are there any races that stood out to you as like just the route planning or just so horrible in terms of technicality? I don't know if you rode it ever, but the Wembley Tour Series round they used to have nightmare for everyone.
I deliberately went and did a club time trial that night. Actually, I did pretty much the whole of the Tour Series, but I went and did a local club time trial and took a course record of Alex down Winchester where it was at the time, because I knew it was forecast rain and. Yeah, last thing I wanted to do was go riding on there because I knew it was going to be horrendous. And I had other things to live for that season than the Wembley Tour Series, so I didn't. So I said that I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I saw some pretty impressive...
My brother did it and decked it. He took my place.
I saw the first crash of the race in the men's race. The men's race actually wasn't as bad as the women's race because it dried up a bit, but yeah, it was a pretty messy race.
Yeah.
I know
it was funny watching on TV, but it wouldn't have been funny to actually ride it, I don't think.
No, I mean, I was only there spectating, so I've not got a problem with that. But yeah, so how many club tens do you have the record for?
Courses, I'm not too sure. My local one, 1, 2, 3. I know I've got 3 around here. I don't know. I wouldn't.
Because I've never.
There's a few open time trials as well. Like, not necessarily 10s, like 25s, 20s, like various ones I've ridden around Cambridge, probably. I don't know. I don't go there to go and do it first time. I just go there just to, it's just a training event, like, isn't it? Go and do a good time. And if someone tells me it's a record, it's a record. Like, I'm, you know, I just go out there and just go. It doesn't change if you're just going out and riding flat out of time trial, really.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously that's one thing that the UK has really. That stands out as unique is the kind of club 10 culture that countries don't tend to have. Like every club here has a club 10.
Kind of, no, there isn't, and it's different in the UK. So it's like a bit of a weird time trialing scene which no country has. But hopefully that might start up first again. You know, it'd be quite nice to go and do some time trials, even if we can't road race for a bit, just to be able to do a few time trials. I mean, even the local clubs near me, they're kind of putting on virtual time trials where. They just say, like, right, go and do your time around here in this month, and they'll set, like, 4 courses, and then you have to... It's just whoever's got the fastest Strava for the month gets the title, I guess. So it's an unofficial way of doing it, but it's not quite the same, is it, as doing a proper club 10?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there'd be less cake at my club 10 if I had to do it virtually.
Yeah.
It shows my motives to do with cycling, but...
Yeah, because
I've always wondered, because I know obviously quite a few of the British pros do go out and do club 10s, and obviously Wiggins made an effort to try and break the national 25 record down that bit of A road somewhere. And was it national 10?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't break it though, did he?
Nah. Unless you do what you want, no one will beat Marcin anymore. Like that one on the V7-18, no one will beat that. That's done now. Until that course is gone as well, because it's too dangerous. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, the last time I had someone of note turn up to my time trial was Joe Fry, and it was his first race in his Canyon kit on his Canyon bike, his full Canyon. Yeah. Like, his course record got beaten by a 18-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had the course record for like a year. The women's course record's Laura Trott because she's local to me, but our time trial is awful course. Cannot stand it. It's just two massive hills. It's not it's not the old out and back dual carriageway.
Oh right, okay. That's a bit different.
That's another thing local to you. And unless I could be completely wrong. But you go out with the Donny Chengang, don't you?
No, that's about an hour and a bit south of me.
Oh, so you've never been out with them?
We do have a Tuesday chain gang, but that's postponed at the moment. No, not Doncaster's. No, it's about an hour and a bit south of me.
Oh, right, fair enough.
We do have a northeast like Tuesday night chain gang though.
Who's in that? Anyone of note?
Just a couple of Ribble riders. Half the Ribble squad.
Because the Doncaster one is the Downings and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, Downings, Connor, Briggsy, those kind of guys. Also, you know, Yorkshire, not northeast.
Yeah. You're a bit further north than that.
Yeah. Top of the border.
What are your plans for next year? Because according to PCS, you're not contracted next year. Are you looking to stay with Azure Desert if you can? Because obviously the season's been so disrupted.
I know, yeah. I mean, I'd love to stay with the team. I don't know what's happening in terms of contracts with riders. I'll speak to the team at some point over this, you know, period now and see what their plans are, when they're going to kind of look at dates and when they're going to start discussing with riders for the next year. It's just, I've only done two races this year and I'm not going to be racing till August. So it'd be nice to have something in writing. But yeah, well, I'll find out.
Yeah. And I mean, because one thing I like this personally, I'm not too keen on certain teams. Like, you didn't go through the World Tour route that a lot of British riders go, which is like straight to Ineos or anything, or when they were Sky. If Ineos or Sky wanted you, do you enjoy being on a foreign team, or is it just whatever team is best for you at the time? And like, if Ineos had a prime role for you, you'd go.
I don't know. I've never had that option, so I wouldn't know. But no, I'm happy where I am. I quite enjoy. I enjoy being where I am now. It's a nice team. It's a real good group of guys, and I enjoy supporting Ollie and, you know, wherever I need to go. Even if it's in the smaller races, you know, it's not the classics. It's supporting someone like Benoit or Nans and or Tony in some big, you know, what is essentially, it's a French Cup race, so they're really big for the team. They're only, in terms of like UCI category, they're normally point ones. Well, what would be, I can't remember what it's called now. They've rebranded it all, haven't they? Like the Pro Series or something. So it's like those smaller races that, you know, you would have never heard of. It's just like a smaller race for the team, but that would mean more to the team winning that race than what it would be to win Ride London, like a World Tour Classic or something, because it's a French race and it's big for the team in France. So the smaller French stage races and one day races are also like massive for the team.
And do you notice, do you get more attention being, have you even raced in France with the team? Are those the two races you did?
Yeah. The last races that I did were we did one in France and one in Belgium. Well, I mean, they're the only two, but my calendar is predominantly French, yeah.
So do you get a lot more attention from fans when you're there? Because obviously, when you go to race in the UK, you just tend to see the British rider swamp. So at Tour of Britain, it's always, or it always was, when Cav was at Dimension Data and the Sky bus would just be swamped and everyone else would be left empty.
There was an extra, like when I was doing Tour of Britain with Katusha, there was obviously like a good group of people, like would always be around the bus wanting a picture or wanting, because then you're always on the team and stuff. But the team wasn't, you know, surrounded like Dimension Data or Skies, you know, but still it was still like good support, and shame to Britain's not on this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was meant to be in the British social media team for that.
There just wouldn't be enough space in the calendar for it. I mean, I think they would already be struggling anyway with the calendar the way that it was before, with the Worlds and stuff like that. So it's one of those things where it's, hopefully it can come back the year after. Hopefully it's not the end for the race.
Yeah, I mean, it was going, it kept progressing forwards. I mean, to have Alaphilippe win the GC a year before he then went and rode in the yellow jersey for a year, it says a lot. And they're putting a lot of effort into it. I know they lost the title sponsor, I think, for next year, because OVO pulled out of all three of their sponsorships in the UK, which is quite bad for the sport. But I mean, it has died before and came back. It was the current form only started again in 2005 or something. So it's not, but yeah, hopefully it continues. I would rather personally see that be bigger than Tour Yorkshire, considering it's the whole country. But I know ASO have some quite powerful sway over the world of cycling. So
they have quite a big stake on them. So no, hopefully they can wing together a calendar for the end of the year in coordination with RCS and put something together that's viable for everyone. It doesn't put too much demand on teams, because again, each country's gonna have their own different restrictions and rules about people coming to and from the country. So it'd be interesting to see how it all works out in the end.
It's the first scheduled World Tour race. It's still Strade-Bianche, I think, isn't it?
Start of August.
Yeah, which was the first one cancelled. Probably. So I'd say that's probably fair. Well, bar the last stage of the UAE Tour. Have you got any races you rode last year, obviously, potentially World Tour races, that you just stand out to you as just outstanding to ride and they're just great fun?
Big Bank was a good race. It's a World Tour race. It was good fun. I actually did a really nice race in Switzerland. I can't remember the name of it though now. It was a one-day GP Gippingham, I think it was called. It was a couple of days before Tour de Suisse. I can't remember when I did it though now. It was maybe in May or June. I can't remember when it was. I think it was in May or June. It was a real nice race. It was the first time in Switzerland. Well, I've been to Switzerland before, but for a road race. And that was really nice scenery. Like it was just a really nice race and like nice atmosphere as well. Yeah, I'd like to do that race again.
Did you ride Tour de Suisse then?
No. Oh. No, it was provisionally on my program this year, but then they moved it to virtual. So just flat out Watts per kilo and Rui. That was it. Really.
I just know that it seems like every pro in history has their top speed in a race ever is always from the Tour de Suisse.
Yeah, I've heard that. No, I've never done it though.
Like 100k an hour downhills and stuff, which sounds quite exciting to me. They don't sound that great to stand at the side of the road as a fan for though.
No, I don't know really. I've never particularly followed it that much, that race. I've seen the results and stuff, but I heard it looks like there's some pretty hard like killer stages in it from what I can gather. There's always a couple of real hard days.
Have you ever been to a race where the prize is something out there? I remember I think it was Pete Kenyuk won the Tour of Austria a couple of years ago and he just got given a massive wheel of cheese. Like, have you ever got given anything that's, like, out there?
Yeah, win some, like, outrageous prizes in those kind of races. Like, Norway and stuff like that. He won some salmon and all that.
Yeah, no, they have uses. Right, so thank you for joining me, Harry. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully you'll get to be racing soon.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know who I'll be back with next time. I never know when it'll be. But I will see you then.
No worries.